Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. This is the Seahawks versus Cardinals preview episode. The game is going to be on Sunday at 1:05 p.m. in Glendale, Arizona. The Seahawks are traveling to the desert. Before we get into this preview, we'll do a quick intro. My name is Grant Goldberg. I do social media work for the SB Nation Lakers site, and Spike is a writer with The Stranger, but most importantly, we're Doug Baldwin fans, and today's a big day for us because it was announced that he is going to play on Sunday. Just right away, Spike, what can Doug Baldwin do for this receiving core that that really needs some help going into this week against the Cardinals?
He's a consistent safety blanket for Russell Wilson. We all know that. We all know what Doug Baldwin's combination of high quality route running and catch radius do for this offense, which is especially crucial when it's being run by Brian Schottenheimer, who loves a third and six. Guy loves third and six. He wants us to make sure we're not in third and 11. We got to get to third and six. And when you're at third and six, Doug Baldwin is the sort of player who turns third and six into a 7-yard gain in a Brian Schottenheimer offense. So I think, you know, joking aside about how terrible Brian Schottenheimer's play calling is, especially in the wake of the Rams-Vikings game that we all watched
last night.
Hot dog! Yeah, I'd say it's going to be great to have Doug back. It's going to be great to have a receiver that we can just trust to run routes and catch balls.
Yeah, exactly. I think the biggest thing is that Brandon Marshall's been Russell Wilson's go-to guy. And for the most part, outside of last week, that's been okay. But last week, it was just a really, really inconsistent showing. Well, it was consistently bad. He didn't catch a couple passes that hit him right in the hands. And so replacing Brandon Marshall with Doug Baldwin as Russell's go-to receiver, that helps his offense just in that the ball will keep moving. Doug Baldwin does not drop passes, famously does not drop passes. And so when we have Doug Baldwin on the field, he's going to get open. He's going to catch these balls. And largely, it's going to go unnoticed until he breaks a route down the seam and, you know, catches one for, you know, 30 or 40 yards. And that's just how Doug Baldwin plays. He works on you, and then, bam, a big play. And so it's going to be huge having him back. I can't wait to watch him. He's super fun to watch on the field. You know, I really don't like to use this word to describe football players, but, you know, Doug Baldwin is just, like, so gritty and pissed off all the time. And so it's going to be good to have that kind of energy on the field, given that we're going to be pissed off watching Brian Schottenheimer call a game.
Yeah, it's can't wait. Can't wait. Although, let's be real, this Cardinals team, not great. Not great. We should probably dive into talking about how not great our opponent is this week. They're not great, Grant. That's my take on this Cardinals team.
Resounding take. So here's the thing with the Cardinals. They're not very good. And they weren't good with Sam Bradford. And, you know, as good as Josh Rosen was at UCLA, as promising as he looked, you know, he's still a rookie quarterback in the NFL who's taken very limited snaps. And so it's going to be an adjustment for him no matter who he's facing. And I think the Seahawks defense is coming off their best performance of the year. They have, in our minds, the best safety tandem in the league in Earl Thomas and Bradley McDougal. So they're going to keep the lid on the defense. And they're going to, you know, be up in the box, helping with run stops. And so, you know, the biggest thing they have to worry about is David Johnson. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you got to, you know, work your hardest to make life hell for Josh Rosen and really try to get that pass rush going.
Yeah, I think you can see that David Johnson is being utilized in a way that is very frustrating for Cardinals fans, which is to say he's not being utilized enough in the passing game. Steve Kimes hasn't brought a sort of dynamic offense. And now most of that's been with Sam Bradford, but you'd think that Sam Bradford, given his accuracy and short throwing situations, would be the sort of quarterback who can maximize David Johnson. The fact that they weren't suggests that a guy like Josh Rosen, who's maybe less experienced, less accurate in those short situations, although, you know, we saw with Mitch Trubisky, guys will dump it off early in their career, perhaps. But I'm not super worried about Johnson exploiting us. And that's a couple reasons. One is our linebacking. We got Bobby Wagner, which is really going to help. We've got great safety play. And we haven't been torn apart yet by running backs in the passing game this year. I mean, Philip Lindsay did some work on us, but Ezekiel Elliott, I guess he could have had a big gain on us and accidentally stepped out of bounds, and I don't know who gets credit for that. But Tariq Cohen was not the issue against the Bears. Jordan Howard wasn't the issue against the Bears. The issue was our terrible offense. And so I'm not super worried about our defense, especially because outside of Larry Fitzgerald, the Cardinals don't have any other great pass catchers, so we can really focus on David Johnson if they do start moving the ball his way.
Yeah, yeah, I agree, and it's gonna be on the offense again. And you know, this is where, you know, we both agree that there's always room for improvement when you have a guy like the offensive coordinator of the Seahawks, who I'm gonna try not to name for the rest of the show, is calling the plays. And so I said this before, but it always feels like, you know, there's a hard ceiling to how good the Seahawks offense can be with the talent of its players when you have a guy like him calling the plays. But the biggest thing to me that we have to worry about from the Cardinals defense, if we're looking at the Seahawks offense, is Chandler Jones. And he is a guy that can really wreck your game plan and be in the backfield all day. And so it's a big task for Dwayne Brown. It's a big task for Jermaine Ifedi. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, he was the NFL leader in sacks last year. And,
yeah, he was.
Yeah. And so when you got an offensive line like the Seahawks, who is coming off their best game of the year, but is yet to put, you know, two really good performances together, you know, it's going to be a big ask for them to contain a guy like Jones.
I'll say Jermaine Ifedi played pretty well. I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence got him once, but he sort of got him on like a weird stunt that was a communication issue as much as anything else. Dwayne Brown's looked good. I'm grateful this week that we're not playing the Rams. And this is going to sound crazy because Jermaine Ifedi is still on our line, but with Ethan Posick on the injury report and DJ Fluker popping up again on the injury report as being limited, I really wouldn't want to face Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue today, even if they don't post the aggregate sack numbers that Chandler Jones does. I just feel like, yeah, Jones is going to get a sack and a half, but like it might not wreck our game down to down the way that if we have injured guards and go up against dominant interior pass rushers like Aaron Donald, like Geno Atkins, you know, that type of like crush the pocket from the inside. I just feel like Russ can't deal with that right now. He's been so bad under pressure this year, and a lot of that is he's being pushed to not run the ball. But like outside pass rush, he did better against that against Dallas. You know what I mean? Like it's a different type of disruption for him, and he doesn't panic the same way. His footwork doesn't break down the same way as when that pass rush comes right up the gut at him. So if our interior pass rush can hold against the Cardinals, hopefully Chandler Jones's impact is limited to a couple flash plays, but not down to down devastation of our offense.
Yeah, we can only hope, and I too am glad that we're not playing the Rams this week. I think I can, you know, speak on the behalf of a lot of Seahawks fans when I say that.
They're so good, man. It's messed up. I don't care for it.
We had the hope that it was one of those on paper teams that looked really good and kind of like disappointed, but you know, they look every bit as good as, you know, it was thought. And
their point differential right now is through four games, it's plus 73. Jesus Christ.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's let's move away from the Rams.
We got to take a break. We got to purge this Ram stuff. Here, take us to a break.
All right. And so stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks, not Rams, on the Locked On Podcast Network. Seahawks fans, The Seahawks travel into Arizona this Sunday to face the Cardinals. And if you want to make the game a little bit more interesting, you should do it through mybookie.ag. It's our premier gambling website for sports betting. And, you know, they have quick, fast payouts. It's important to get your money very fast. And, you know, their website is easy to use, whether it's on desktop or mobile. And if you put a deposit in after 7 p.m. Eastern time, which is 4 p.m. Pacific, you get an additional $25 to play with for free on deposits over $100. And if you join my bookie now, they will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. And so you got to take advantage of that. You got to join my bookie. You got to get this free money. You got to put some on the line for a little bit more, but you got to get this free money to put on your favorite sports team or a sports team that you're just going to think is going to win. So go ahead, take advantage of that. And the promo code to activate the $25 offer is LOCKEDON25. So if you go to mybookie.ag, enter the promo code LOCKEDON25, you get $25 on your deposit of over $100 after 4 p.m. Eastern time. So go ahead, take advantage of that. It's mybookie.ag, LOCKEDON25. We are back with more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and we're going to stay on topic of the Seahawks and Cardinals game. It's this Sunday at 1:05 in Glendale, Arizona, and we talked a little bit about the Cardinals' pass rush. They still have Patrick Peterson. They lost Tyrann Mathieu this offseason, and so I'm thinking it can actually be a prolific game from Russell Wilson, provided he gets, you know, good offensive line play. I think that with Doug Baldwin back, it's definitely going to help him out. With Tyler Lockett playing really good football, Will Disley playing good football, I think it's going to be a good Russell Wilson game.
Yeah, I think the question is sort of, what do you do with Peterson at this point, given that the rest of that Cardinal secondary is a shadow of its former self? It's sort of like they're in a situation that the Seahawks would have been in if they had moved on from Earl Thomas. You know what I mean? Where there's sort of just like one good guy and then one okay guy, and then you're like, I don't know what's happening after that. And that it's just Peterson, it's like, stay away. You know what I mean? I think if you're playing fantasy, maybe this is the week to not slide Tyler Lockett into the lineup. Maybe save that Tyler Lockett for when we play the Rams the next week, where A, we might be playing from behind. B, Aqib Talib is out, so they only have the one cornerback in Marcus Peters, but Marcus Peters moves around more than Peterson. So for me, I don't think we're going to see a big game from Tyler Lockett, which makes Doug's return all the more important. So you get a big game from Doug. They don't have Mathieu, and their linebacking safety core is not what it was in the Bruce Arians era. So you've got the ability to use Will Disley, use Brandon Marshall, use big bodies in the middle of the field. Now, mind you, we've been using Brandon Marshall on the sideline a lot, and that hasn't really been working that great. But I'm really interested to see how we can use the middle of the field now that Doug is back. I think that's where, you know, maybe even Chris Carson dump offs. I feel like there's a lot of different possibilities. And if we ran a modern NFL offense, there'd be lots of possibilities for mesh concepts and rub routes and all sorts of different ways to get guys open in the middle of the field. We're not going to do that. So I just imagine Doug Baldwin running up the field 8 yards, doing a double move, turning around, getting a 12-yard gain, and that happening like 9 times. But that's going to be great. I'm okay with that if it's Doug Baldwin. I don't know, Grant. Sorry, I'm trying not to just harp on our offense. It's just hard, guys. It's hard. I just stare at our bad offense all the time. Defense is so good, though. Yeah. We should talk about our defense. You say what you need to say, but then let's talk about our defense because I want to get optimistic and talk positive.
Okay, because you know you got my hopes up with the mention of, you know, the mesh concepts and the rub routes, and now I just know it's going to be like 3rd and 8. They're going to call a halfback screen, and it's going to be stopped after like 1 or 2 yards, and I'm going to be like, damn, you know, it could have been a lot better. But you know, let's move away from that. Let's get the optimism. Let's ramp it up. And let's talk about this defense. This defense that, you know, I'm really, really confident in, you know, 3 out of 4 members in this secondary. And Trey Flowers, he's building his confidence up, and he's getting more experience under his belt. Ken Norton said that he's taking to his adjustment really well. Granted, he's a rookie who's changing position, so there's room for error. But he's done really well considering. But Shaquille Griffin, I don't think is being talked about as he's playing like one of the top cornerbacks in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, he's done so much. He's shutting down that side of the field. He's gotten turnovers. He's done all the things that he needed to do to give us 85% of peak Richard Sherman. And again, like we talk about how Earl Thomas makes Pete's scheme work. Sherm did to a degree too, where like you just take away chunks of the field and then you let your other athletes make plays. And maybe Griffin isn't doing what peak Sherman did 100%, but quarterbacks are not going to be challenging him. And if they do, they're going to get punished, either with incompletions or potentially interceptions. So, yeah, I mean, Griffin looks great. Griffin is not having a sophomore slump, which is thrilling because he is a piece we need going forward. We need him to be excellent and fill those holes from the Legion of Boom.
Yeah, and even with Richard Sherman leaving to San Francisco, he's been in constant communication with Shaquille Griffin and, giving him pointers and still coaching him up like he did last year. And so having that influence of, Earl still on the team and Sherman accessible whenever he has a question. I'm sure Cam is, around in some capacity with the team. I don't want to make assumptions. There's still that lingering effect of the Legion of Boom. It's not on the field, wholly on the field, but, they still, have that connection. They still have that bond, and they're still helping each other out, which is great to see as a Seahawks fan, as a football fan.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of love this, gross, broken defense. Can I say that? Is that weird?
No, it's, if you want to go with more of a nice term, it's different, I guess.
Yeah. But. Well, it's just it is the Pete Carroll competition thing, this is the good version of it in a weird way. Like, we don't have a super team. We used to have a super team on defense. I mean, you're talking about Pro Bowlers at almost every position on the field. Right. We don't have that anymore. So when guys make plays, it's cool and exciting. And then we've got a couple superstars to make sure that other teams aren't getting big explosives on us, which gives those sort of second-tier guys the opportunity to make plays, the opportunity to be constantly getting better on the field, to be constantly focused on the ball, to be constantly doing all that Pete Carroll nonsense. And we're seeing guys like Trey Flowers, we're seeing guys like Bradley McDougal, we're seeing them grow and either turn into competent players when we didn't even expect that, or in McDougal's case, a borderline Pro Bowler. It's cool. It's fun. I mean, again, if you take this season as sort of a wash in terms of genuine contention in the NFC, maybe we could back into a wild card slot if a couple more teams lose their quarterbacks, who knows. But in terms of genuinely contending for the NFC title, I don't think that's possible this year for the first time in a long time. But this is fun. This defense is fun. And they're pretty good. Like, the numbers are pretty good. Now, I think the big caveat on all that is we haven't really played a good offense yet. We've played Case Keenum, Mitch Trubisky, and Dak Prescott, and this week we're not playing a good offense either. And then we play a great offense in the Rams. So we're not going to see this team against, the 12th best offense in the league for a while. So we're not really going to know what they are. But it's fun in this moment to ride the ride.
Yeah, definitely. I think that too. The Seahawks win in Denver if they give Earl Thomas a contract and he's able to, not be on that snap count, but I'm not going to bring that up again. And so, they could easily be 3-0, they could be 2-1, but they sit at 1-2, and, obviously that hurts their playoff chances, and, it's going to be a big litmus test against the Rams to see where they are at this point in the season from where they were when they played the Rams last, and injured and kind of confused team. And so I think that,
man, I just want to say, by adjusted DVOA, taking into account how garbage the offenses we've played are, talking about number 6 in the league right now for the Seahawks.
Hey,
not bad, given that they've moved on from
18.
95 was the number I was going to throw out. Which just makes the offensive madness so much more frustrating. Why did we hire Brian Schottenheimer? John DeFilippo was there, and John DeFilippo is not Sean McVay. Minnesota lost to the freaking Bills by 20 points. He's not a wizard, but at least he does modern NFL stuff. And if you watch Minnesota last night, yeah, you're not deeply envious of them the way you are of the Rams. If you're me, I'm not deeply envious of them. I'll make it an I statement, all on myself. But God, Grant.
All right, here's how I'm gonna look at it. The Seahawks will be so displeased with their offense by the end of the year that they move on from Schottenheimer, allowing them to hire a better, more modern NFL coach. That's my hope, because they went into the Schottenheimer thing. But that was Pete Carroll and John Schneider. They made the decision. That's the decision this year. And so, you know, I hate it. You hate it. I'm sure a lot more people hate it. But, you know, hopefully this just means by the end of the year, they'll move on. And we'll be talking about a new offensive coordinator going into next season. So that's my hope. I'll remain positive about this. And with every Schottenheimer snap that passes, is one less that I'll have to watch by the end of the year. That's what I'm pulling for.
26th in offensive DVOA against the juggernauts that are... Well, I guess the Bears are really good, but the Broncos defense is not that great. And the Cowboys defense is not that great. Anyway, oh boy. All right, you know, let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's pick this game. We'll be back right after this Locked On Seahawks, Locked On Podcast Network.
We are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and we are going to pick this Seahawks versus Cardinals game. And I am going to pick the Seahawks. And I think that I can assume that you are too, given how we kind of crapped on the Cardinals all show, and a little bit on the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I think that the Seahawks are going to win, and they're going to win kind of comfortably, and that's kind of funny given how they've played the Cardinals last year. But you know, they're two different teams, and where the Seahawks are really good on one side of the ball and could be better on another side of the ball, I'll take that over what the Cardinals have in this situation. And so I'm going to pick a 27-10 win for the Seahawks.
Yeah, so I think it's a similar game to last week. I mean, we're on the road in Arizona, and obviously some crazy, terrible things have happened in that stadium that we don't need to talk about right now.
No,
but
not.
The line is only 3.5. The Seahawks are 3.5-point favorites, which is to say 6.5-point favorites on a neutral field, which is a pretty big line for a pretty mediocre Seahawks offense. That said, this Cardinals team has been awful. But that said, Josh Rosen's a wild card. He could keep it close. Certainly, we don't know what he is as an NFL quarterback yet, so we'll see. The thing that blows my mind right now is 77% of the betting action, according to this weird website I'm at called SportsInteraction.com. I've never been here before. I don't know if this is real, but 77% of the betting action is on Arizona plus 3.5. I would need, even in Arizona, I would need 5.5 points to really think about pounding them on my bookie or something like that. So for me, Seahawks straight up, certainly. I don't know if I can predict a blowout. I think 23-16 maybe is where I'm going to put it. I'm still comfortable with 3.5 points, but we'll see. So yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think the Seahawks are going to still ride the turnover train, but this week is going to be different because they're going to score off of these turnovers, and not because of Brian Schottenheimer, but because they're going to be either interceptions or fumbles that nearly get taken to the house.
Yeah, I love your optimism. I think we might regress a little on third down, so hopefully scoring off the touchdowns makes it a little better. Makes it a little better.
Hey, yeah. A little better will be good, at least. I don't know. Anyways, we'll go into Arizona. I think it's going to be a fun game, at least. I'll make that prediction, and that's the one I'll stick to solidly. I still think it's going to be... This is wild, saying it out loud now. That's going to be a 17-point win. But, hey, you know, I like to expect big things sometimes. And whether it burns me, that's my own fault.
Yeah. Hey, we all make mistakes.
Hey, You know what? That's very true. And so I think that does it, unless we have anything else we want to talk about.
No, I don't want to talk about the Ryder Cup. Okay, man, it's too soon.
Hey, no, we'll rebound from this loss with a big win.
I don't want to talk about Shareef O'Neal either. Come on,
Oh,
man.
I know. Oof.
As a UCLA student, heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. I was going to get to watch him. Now I can't.
Yeah, you know
I
what?
guess
Hopefully,
it's more important that his heart is healthy,
I get. If
And
we're
the
gonna
other
measure,
stuff.
if we're gonna measure things,
What are we doing? If we're going to measure things, use PFF. They've been sending us great stats, informing our commentary all year. You should be informed. Use PFF. Go to my bookie, bet on stuff. It's great. They'll pay you out. It's a big win. And yeah, rate us and review on iTunes. Follow people on Twitter. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, thank you. We love you. And tell your friends.
we love you. Tell your friends we love them too.
Oh, don't, not until they listen, man.
Well, if they know that we love them, they'll be more inclined to listen. I don't know. That's where my head's at. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. And for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.